Vice President Joe Biden has said if given the chance, he will nominate a woman of color to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court. Will he get that chance? That remains to be seen. But our next guest is a Michigan State University trustee, a law professor, and the co-author of the book Shortlisted, Women in the Shadows of the Supreme Court. We say good morning this morning to Renee Kanaki. Renee, good morning.
Good morning.
These women that you profile are women who have ascended to the short list, if you will, to serve on the Supreme Court. Tell us a little bit about the impetus to write this book.
Sure. So a number of years ago, but the last time we saw women nominees to the court with President Obama, now Justices Kagan and Sotomayor, I noticed that the media was really focused on their feminine attributes in a way that we hadn't seen similar coverage for male nominees that came before. And I ended up doing an empirical study that looked at the media's coverage of nominees to the Supreme Court from the 1970s through their nominations. And as part of that work, I uncovered an article about President Nixon's shortlist in 1971. It had two women on there, Sylvia Bacon and Mildred Lilly. And I was stunned. I'd never heard of these women before. It made me wonder how many women had been shortlisted for the U.S. Supreme Court before our first woman joined it, of course, a decade later in 1981, Sandra Day O'Connor. And that's what led to this book. As it turns out, nine women were officially considered by presidents going all the way back to the 1930s before the first woman would join the court in 1981.
Were they always considered seriously, or were they put on the shortlist for the appearances of being considered?
Well, that's a great question. I think in some cases they were considered seriously, but in most instances it was to create an appearance for that particular president to suggest a commitment to diversity and equality, but then not selecting the woman allowed them to maintain that status quo of the all-male court. In fact, to go back to Nixon, he was one of the worst offenders in this regard, in that he and his Oval Office tapes that we've gone back and listened to said things like, I don't even think women should be allowed to vote. But he wanted their vote, and he knew they were voting, which is why he put two women on the shortlist, even though he ultimately selected from that list Chief Justice Rehnquist and Justice Powell.
You were surprised to find this list of women. I'm surprised to hear that it went back as far as 1930.
Yeah, imagine if we had had a woman sitting on the Supreme Court from the 1930s on. So the first woman considered seriously by presidents, Florence Allen. She was the first woman on the Ohio Supreme Court as a justice, and then the first woman to sit on a federal court of appeals, the Sixth Circuit. She was put there by FDR in 1934. I think that not only might we have had, you know, perhaps different cases decided, perhaps different outcomes of those cases, we certainly would have had a way for women to envision themselves in professional life, on the court, but in all professions, if we had seen a woman in such a prominent role all the way back in 1930 and not had to wait almost half a century, right, until O'Connor took the bench in 81.
When Vice President Biden says that he will choose as his running mate a woman, and he says that if given the chance, he'll nominate a woman of color to the U.S. Supreme Court, do you think that he is sincere, or is there a certain element of pandering at work there?
Well, I think he is sincere, and my hope is that he won't just use these two opportunities as tokens, if you will. I mean, to be sure, Biden's shortlist for the vice presidency is not going to be used the way Nixon's was, because only women are going to be on that shortlist. That's what Biden has promised us. So we know a woman will be coming off it. It'll be interesting to see if he becomes president, if he'll do more than just fulfill these campaign pledges. I have no doubt he will do so. But then will he continue to go on to put women and minorities, and especially minority women, who are even less represented in positions of leadership and power in terms of how we enter professions and then ascend within them, that he'll do more than just appoint these two very important and prominent roles. Reagan, for example, he ran on his campaign pledge that he would put a woman on the Supreme Court, and he absolutely fulfilled it with Sandra Day O'Connor, and she was a phenomenal justice. But he then went on to put very few women elsewhere in lower courts in the judiciary. And so I sure hope that if Biden becomes president, he not only keeps these campaign promises, but goes on to continue to focus on finding qualified women, minority women for positions of leadership and power. For me, this is so important because we want a leadership that reflects the diversity of the public it serves in terms of who we are and a diverse range of viewpoints. And it will be interesting to see how that all plays out.
The book is called Shortlisted, Women in the Shadows of the Supreme Court, about women that have made the shortlist for the Supreme Court nomination. Renee, I want to ask you, as long as we have you here, I know that you've only been on the MSU Board of Trustees for 6 months, but news yesterday about the former MSU president, Luanna Simon, charges dropped against her, charges that she had lied to police about what she knew about the allegations against Larry Nassar. Does this mark an end to the Larry Nassar chapter at MSU? Is this a chance to put that to rest and move forward now?
Well, I think that we will always be committed to working on how we can make sure something like that never happens again. So, this is one point along that way. But from my perspective, I think that work will never be done for this institution and all institutions to make sure that something like this never is repeated.
Renee, appreciate your time this morning. Great talking to you about Shortlisted, Women in the Shadows of the Supreme Court. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Bye now. 1380 WPHM in Port Huron, law professor and MSU trustee Renee Kanaki.